Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mathis Media Hub Radio. You know, today I have a really special guest on today. I've wanted him on the show. We were on the Sal Sergio show talking about the Grimms, his creation of animated cartoon characters. And let me tell you a little bit about him. He's Richard Sergiovanni, creator of the Grimms. And he's been a successful New York advertising executive for over two decades. But he has also judged that with his passion for cartooning. The premise for the Grimms is four very talented young musicians with mop tops and British accents. So we're going to talk about that today with Richard. Let me welcome him on. Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hi, Joanne. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing really great. And before we get into the Grimms, I wanted to get in a little bit about you. Where were you born?
Born in New York City, Queens, New York.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, and you want to go ahead.
Well, no, it's in a pretty normal residential area. It was a great place to grow up, and it was, you know, we had all the exciting things being in New York City, as far as the arts and interests and things like that, which I think is kind of what, you know, made me get involved in some of the things I did as I got older.
Wow. That sounds fantastic. And so where'd you go to school, or did you? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I went to, you know, your traditional grammar schools and high schools. But in college, I decided to, as I was already on my path of knowing I wanted to be in the arts, went to the School of Visual Arts in Manhattan, which was a great experience, very diverse group of people, first time in my life, you know. Strange when you're younger and you're going through school and you have some sort of art talent, at some point, you think you're the best of the best. But when you then get into a competitive situation like that, you find out that, and you get challenged on how much other great talents out there and people in the arts of all different kind of mediums, from, you know, who is a painter and a sculptor. And well, my thing was cartooning. And I studied with a couple of the best, and I found my own style. And I, you know, was fortunate. I studied with a guy by the name of Harvey Kurtzman, who's now passed. But Harvey was famous in himself being one of the creators of Mad Magazine in the 50s. And studied with another guy called Will Eisner, who's very well known in the cartoon industry. And it was a great experience. And learned a lot in those days, and started to secure more of my passions and the things that I wanted to do in the art world. The funny thing is, you asked me, you know, where I grew up and where it kind of started, and then going to college. When I was much earlier on, I was kind of confused. I did not know if I wanted to be a rock star, because I was a musician, I'm a musician, or a cartoonist. And I led these two different parallel roads, playing music and being a cartoonist, which ironically has led me to developing the Grimms and kind of combining those two things.
Wow. And so when you... All right, then let's talk about the Grimms. First of all, how does the name come about, the Grimms?
Well, that's funny. When I was, developing the whole thing, I wanted to come up with a name that I would be able to easily enough trademark and copyright. And, you know... it has so much. My attorney actually said to me, you know, try to develop a word that doesn't exist. It'll just increase your odds. So when I was thinking and playing with words for what should I call them, it kept coming back to me that, you know, these characters that I've created, and if the people who know it already might be listening, and if not, please go visit us and see who they are. They're kind of gruesome, and they're kind of impish, and I started to play with gruesome imp, and I just thought it, and it kind of blended into Grimms, and I said, as soon as I said it for the first time, I said, yeah, I like that one, and it was easy to spell, short and sweet, and I liked it immediately.
Wow. And so the characters, I think I read somewhere about the Beatles. Were they fashioned after
the Beatles? The whole idea of the Grimps in some way is a tribute to rock and roll in general. I mean, I was a kid, as I said earlier, I was a musician, I'm a musician, really, really loved everything about what happened in the 60s and the 70s with music and in rock music in particular. So when I started to develop the Grimps, I subtly started to take names and some kind of, you know, visual designs when I designed them to represent some characters from rock and roll. But knowing that this is aimed at kids, a lot of it would go over the kids' heads. And I am a tremendous Beatles fan. And so I, in some ways, started to develop a lot of the drawings and the characters in the Grimps in their human form to look kind of like Mod and Fab and from that era, and started to give them names that came out of people in rock and roll. So it started to develop from that, because I wanted it to have a kind of subtle feel in that way. And what has happened with it is that, and it's what's really interesting, is that I really wanted this to be family entertainment, and for not just kids, but for parents and, you know, and possibly the grandparents. And it's happening because a lot of the grandparents are the classic rock generation, and they're picking up on certain things, and the kids are picking up on other things. So my designs and my name started to, you know, go in that direction, and I had fun with it.
Wow. So this is for kids and adults.
It's primarily going to be, but it's primarily written to the target demo for children. 7 to 12, 7 to 13. But because of my efforts in the social media world between Twitter and Facebook and some of the other things, my followers or fan base, if you want to call it, is 7 to 70 years old, and what's really, really encouraging for me, without even being on the air yet with it, is that they're coming from all around the world. I mean, we have followers from Japan and from United States and from, Bangladesh and from Europe and London and so on and so forth. So it really is showing that it's very, very universal. And even some of the places where there's a language barrier, the visuals and the music that we've already started to create is, you know, speaking to everyone. Yeah. So it's nice.
Wow. It's fantastic. If anyone hasn't seen it, it's on YouTube. And where else can we find it?
The Grimps have a channel on YouTube, and certainly on Facebook. You can find the Grimps on Facebook, and it's on Twitter, at the Grimps, and also the website, which is thegrimps.com, which also has links to Facebook and Twitter. So there's many places you could find us, and we also have recently set up 4 new songs on SoundCloud. So you certainly can hear some of our new music there as well.
So, okay, songs on SoundCloud, cool. Well, let's listen to the Grimps and give everybody an idea of what's going on. I absolutely love it. Hold on, here we go.
Thank you.
We're the band. We're the band. Playing one night stand.
Okay, you're listening to Mathis Media Hub Radio. We have Richard Sergiovanni here, the creator of The Grimms. Richard, that's a catchy song.
Thank you. Yeah, we're real happy with it.
Absolutely. I mean, it just, after we hang up, I'll be going, we're the Grimms, we're the band.
Well, let me give you a little trivia. I don't know how many people might remember this, but Joanne, do you remember the song Sugar Sugar by the Archies?
Sugar Sugar, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right, that's it.
Honey, yep, I remember
right.
it.
Right, and Sugar Sugar was actually the biggest selling single of 1969, outsold the Beatles and the Temptations, whoever else was on the chart that year. Well, a guy by the name of Ron Dante, who was the voice of that song for Don Kirshner, wrote We're the Grimms for us, and it was a real, real pleasure working with him. He came up. You know, I told him I was looking for a theme song that would introduce the characters and kind of same as Hey Hey We're the Monkees, you know, because this is going to be a show's intro song, and nailed it, and we're real, real happy with that song. So for some of those music historians, Ron Dante there wrote We're the Grimms, and more to come on that.
Wow, that's wonderful. Now, do you have younger kids or grandkids or what?
I have three kids myself, no grandkids yet, but three grown kids.
And how do they feel about your project?
They absolutely love it, unless they're just so polite. You know, the funny thing with my kids, they have been my sounding board ever since they were little kids. Because I always was, a cartoonist, and not just developing some of my own projects, but, you know, I illustrated for books and magazines, and I would always, use them as my sounding board, or what do you think about this character, or see if we can laugh. So they have followed me through all these years as well. They absolutely love what it is. They can appreciate it. They see all the hard work that goes in it behind the scenes. Actually, my oldest son, I got a great Father's Day gift when he told me that he really just seeing how, you know, how I put my work and dedication and my love into this project, which is something that I like, has inspired him to do things that he likes to do, too. And he's become very accomplished himself. So that was a really, really nice thing to hear. It was better than getting
absolutely.
A card, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, what an example you have set for them, and which is very, very important. And that's another thing I was going to mention, say to you, that it's really good to hear someone like you who is so passionate about what you do. A lot of people don't, have that passion. They jump from one thing to the other. But you have to stick to it. And it does take a lot of hard work. But if you have a passion for it, if you really like what you're doing, you stick with it, right?
I agree. And, you know, it is a double-edged sword, because it becomes very frustrating at sometimes with anything that someone might do, that whatever their passion is. It's a great thing to have a passion. It's a great thing to be able to wake up and have a goal and be excited about what your next step is. It also is very frustrating, but the thing is, like, you know, you just can't give up, and it's better to have the passion and be a little, you know, frustrated or have some failures here or there than not to have one, because you only go around once, and I think, you know, it's kind of really what makes, as one of the things that makes life worth living, is to be excited about something that you do. And quite honestly, as we all know, what we do for work usually, unfortunately, becomes the biggest part of what amount of hours of our day. So why do something that you hate? You should really do something that you love. And if you could lucky enough to make some money doing what you love, then even better. And, you know, I always stuck with the story. I always remembered hearing the story how it took Sylvester Stallone 6 years of kicking around and getting turned down 100 times with his Rocky script. And even when he, you know, have found a studio to have interest in it, and they didn't want him to act in it or to direct. He, you know, he stood his ground.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have had the career that he had if he didn't have the belief in himself and the things that he did. So that's an important part, too, I think.
That's right. Yeah. Well said. Well, we're going to go to a commercial, and we'll be right back. Hold on.
Here is a well-documented fact. Humans spend approximately 33% of life in bed. That's a good reason to consider bringing your bed into the 21st century with Function All Linens. They'll change your bedtime forever. Designed for every kind of bedtime you can imagine, these fun and functional bed sheets have his and her side pockets that hold pretty much everything but the kitchen sink. The pockets allow you to have your cell phone, iPad, remotes, and anything else you need within your fingertips' reach at all times. No more cluttered nightstands. No more fumbling around in the dark. Simply reach for your pocket. Experience the affordable comfort and pure luxury that only Function All Linens can offer. For more information or to order, visit functionall-linens.com or bedsdazzle.com.
All right, you're listening to Mathis Media Hub Radio, and I'm with Richard Sergiovanni. Richard, every time I say Sergiovanni, I think I'm going to go bleh. So, and I'm so proud of myself. Yeah, you know, I practice.
Phonetically,
I really
it's very practice. Easy, very easy. Sergiovanni, you know. But I believe me, you're saying it very well. I've had some real botch jobs over the years, so I've heard it all, so don't worry.
Really? Wow, that's something. Well, all right, so I'm glad to know that I'm pronouncing Sergiovanni. Here we go. So what about your parents when you were growing up? I mean, now, first of all, I know that you were working in an advertising, well, you were an advertising executive for over two decades.
Yeah, I went to the art school, School of Visual Arts, I mentioned, and, of course,
yeah.
I studied cartooning, but I also there studied advertising because you know, I knew that maybe the cartooning route wasn't going to pay the bills right away. So, you know, I got out of school, and I was doing it all at one time. I mean, I was playing as a drummer in a rock band in New York City clubs at night. I started my career as an art director in an advertising agency in the day. And somewhere in between that and lost hours, I would take on freelance jobs as a cartoonist and, magazines and newspapers and whatever it was, and started to write my own stories and things like that. But my parents, as you mentioned, or especially my father, it was my mother passed when I was younger. My father, he was a child of Italian immigrants, and he did not understand the whole be an artist type of thing, you know, and he was kind of like, you know, worried or pictured that you try, you know, you starve and you sell your art on the street and all of that. And I could understand where he was coming from. And, you know, he wanted his son to do something better than him and wanted, you know, me to go to law school and all that. So I had to, you know, fight some battles, but I did my own thing, and I'm glad I did. But I was able to, you know, start my career at that point, making my own decisions. So,
very creative now, drummer, art director, cartoonist. But you stayed in the creative realm, Richard, which,
yes.
Wow. Well, you know, how could you be an accountant or a lawyer or a doctor when you were so creative? You have those creative
genes. I think everybody's born with something in them. There's something in them that is their thing, that is their interest. If it's your, you know, if you're into sports, either as a whatever, or if you're a guy to be behind a desk, or my thing was music and art. It just inspired me. It made everything seem possible. You know, there's kind of no rules when you create something. You know, one and one is not two. It could be whatever it wants to be, and I kind of like that.
Sure.
And I, as I mentioned, what really was a bug to me when I was a kid was, I was very, very young, but, you know, I was able to, when I saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, and it kind of took off from there. And I was also an avid comic book reader. You know, it was a fantasy world.
Oh.
That I just, it was amazing. Ironically, wow. Many years later, in two different times, I was able to meet both Paul McCartney and Stan Lee. You know, Stan Lee, the owner, the guy, developer and creator of Marvel Comics and many of those movies that we see today, like Spider-Man and Avengers and all. And, you know, got to meet these two guys that were, you know, part of these two things that were, you know, my DNA and what got me interested in. So that was kind of fun, interesting, and ironic all at the same time. But yeah, my thing was the arts. You know, I just love that, and I always was drawn to, you know, people that were, you know, from that world or, mm-hmm. you know, kind of broke the rules and in a good way and did things mm-hmm. first. So it just is who I was.
And do you? Do you believe in the universe giving you what you ask for or what you put out? Because it seems that way with you.
I do. I definitely do. I mean, your positive attitude and thinking is definitely tremendously important, I believe. And, you know, still a lot of hard work. But I definitely am a believer in that. And there's a lot of books out there that talk about that. And I recommend to people who, you know, are interested to, you know, read about it. There's a, you know, we've all heard about the book, The Secret, or there's another one called The Power. And there's many, many others.
Right.
And I really do believe in that. And you could be talented and you could be, you know, the best of the best. But if you live with a negative attitude and, you know, all the time, it's going to work against you, I think. And really, really hard in reality sometimes to, you know, to try to stay focused and positive when everybody keeps rejecting you, you know. But that's part of the path, you know, because none of us know when something's supposed to click. But you know what, I really, when I look at from the day, I remember the day I sat down and I said, you know what, I need a new project to work on. I want to do something with music and with cartoons that has some mystical thing for kids. From then to now, it went because I just followed and I just kept doing what I had to do, and there's still so much more to do. But it grows, it develops, it becomes a thing. You know, you and I are talking now because I did all those other steps. Now, I have plenty of other steps to do, and the world still needs to see it. But that's part of the path. That's part of the positive thinking, and that's a part of not quitting. And that's why you and I are talking right now.
That's right, and that's a wonderful way of putting things. But it's interesting that you talked about rejection. How many times, I mean, not how many times, but were you rejected often, things that you created, people said, no, we don't think so, or how did that go?
Oh, sure. I mean, well, and anybody who might be listening who's in the arts that, you know, creates something has to know it happens all the time. I mean, you know, it's a very subjective thing. In the case of the Grimm, so we're getting ready right now to, you know, test the waters and pitch to networks and other places like that, so I don't have any stories on that. But there'll be somebody who says no. You know, I've done plenty of other projects. I've done, you know, paid advertising illustrations for clients where they said my first, you know, idea that I gave them, they said no until I gave them something that they wanted. And who's to say who was right? Usually, you know, I always think that that's kind of a little bit of the bad part of it, but that's commercial art. You know, I mean, you know, Picasso didn't have his wife standing behind his back telling him to add another eye in the painting.
True.
You know, I mean, you got to let the artist do what the artist has to do. Even the Beatles, you know, there was a guy who turned down the Beatles on Decca Records and told the manager that, you know, no, this band's never going to see the light of day. Guitar groups are gone, you know. I mean, so it happens to everyone, and it's happened to me, not with the Grimms, but it happens to everyone, and you just have to have thick skin, and you don't take it personal, and it's a hard thing to do, but it's the only way to survive and keep moving.
Yeah, you're right, and you do have to have thick skin. you know, to survive this. And so what would you say to people who don't have thick skin? But not only that, what would you say to people who, because of life happening, raising kids, taking care of their elderly parents, it's never too late to follow or to do what you want to do in life, don't you think?
Oh, I totally agree. It's never too late. You know, everybody has a different concept of what they might think success is. You know what I mean? I mean, that could definitely fluctuate between one person to another. Somebody might, you know, want to do cartoons like I'm doing and just doing it for the local newspaper and feel very satisfied. And you know what? That's great. Some people might want to do what I'm trying to do, you know, get on network television and trying to make it an international property. There's different things, but I believe that it's never too late to change directions, to do what you have to do. Hopefully you're lucky enough that there are factors that don't completely, you know, stop you from ever doing anything. But I always believe there's always a way to figure it out. It might go slower than you want, but there's always a way. I mean, look, I myself, you know, worked a traditional job because I raised kids, and I have no regrets about it. And, you know, you have all those other things you had to do. I was lucky to some degree that at least I made my living in the creative arts. You know, I was always there. I was a musician. I did in advertising. I worked in recording studios. I kept my fingers in music in different ways like that. You know, I was still, you know, I might have been drawing a picture of a, you know, a bunny rabbit for a July 4th car dealership sale, but I was still drawing and keeping my fingers in it. So I was lucky in that way, but I actually did put certain things aside to maybe completely go for it like other people might be, like somebody who's has no ties and is a musician and goes on the road, or an artist that goes to galleries around the world. But whatever, I have no regrets. But I always think it's definitely never too late for anyone, and don't, you know, and don't tell yourself that. I really believe you can do it if you want.
Well, Richard, our time is just about up, but how uplifting, how absolutely uplifting it is. Oh, absolutely. And I want to just coin the phrase, always a way to figure it out. I like that you said that. So it's very important to people. They don't realize that there's always a way to figure it out, because there is. So
yeah,
there you go.
You
can check out the Grimms on YouTube. I forget where else, Richard.
On Facebook. Find it on the Grimms on Facebook and on Twitter, and at thegrimms.com. And thank you, Joanne, for having me.
Well, thank you, Richard Sir Giovanni. I love that word. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And I hope you come back soon, you know.
I would love to.
You go on.
I would love to. I'll give you some updates after the sale and tell you when we're going to be on TV, okay?
I love it. Thank you, Richard. Take care.
Bye now. Have a great holiday
week.
Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Mathis Media Hub Radio. That was Richard Sergiovanni, creator of the Grimms. All right, take care. As Richard said, have a nice holiday weekend. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This has been a Mathis Media Hub production.